Well, our last speaker for this morning is no less than Professor Sironen from the University of Helsinki, the leading world expert and, I would think, living authority on the Christian epigraphy of Corinthia and Attica. Professor Sironen has been involved with the Topoi project since its very beginnings and has recently completed a volume of the Christian inscriptions of Corinth and its surroundings between the 4th and 6th centuries, which, as Marina mentioned, will soon be published in the Inscriptions Grey Case series. And actually, I would encourage you, I would imagine, you spent your entire night on the database looking through the various inscriptions, but you would find them already there online. The title of this presentation today is Christian Inscriptions of Corinthia and History of Early Christianity in the Peloponnese Region. Professor Sironen.
Thank you very much indeed. Yes, thank you, Topoi, thank you, IG, Professor Breitenbach, and hello. Without you, I wouldn't be here and the topics wouldn't be nowhere. Also, thank you for inviting me in the first place, and thank you for coming here. So the papers, the last paper with photos of these 10 samples, I didn't give them the pre-corpus numbers or the corpus numbers, I just put them 1 to 10. And these are some of the quotations of the more usual ones, not the rare literature. And there's one photo from Practica, Archaeologis Eterias, photo 51 Gamma. So that is the kind of a publication, if you want to call that a publication. I am of the old school, I carry papers with me, and I'm happy for this being available also. Here's a manuscript. The index is halfway, otherwise it's done. But about earlier literature, I have brought with me the important, a photocopy of the important publication by Denis Fessel and Anne Philippidis Brat from 85, Travaux et Mémoires 9, inventory of, or survey of the Peloponnesian Byzantine Christian inscriptions, with the exception of Mystra. It was useful in the late 80s when I started this work on Corinthian inscriptions, and it still is. Well, 12 years later, or 13 years later, there was this publication by Anna Aramea, the French title, you can read it, I cannot read it, okay, I can read it, but I cannot pronounce it. So it's better that you yourselves read it. And of the inscription number, let's see, here is, I have one squeeze taken with me from Helsinki. This is an extra squeeze, number 5, because this is an epigram and I have extra squeezes of epigrams of Roman period from Greece. So if you want to have a look at how it feels, the letters under the fingers, it's a little bit dirty, I'm sorry, but I was in a hurry once again. First, I will talk about the other parts of Peloponnese and then concentrate on these 10 samples from Corinthia. As already mentioned by Professor Pavlov, the late antique epigraphical corpus is imminent, it's going to come out next year. It has almost 600 inscriptions, excepting instrumentum domesticum, I don't know what it is in American, and magical texts from around 300 to 600 or a little later. That is the late antique period. Number one, the material is fragmentary. In Corinth, it is always fragmentary, but these examples that I have taken are the more complete ones, especially 1 to 6, and the last two ones are just about complete. Chronology, how to date inscriptions that have two or three letters on the stone. Well, there's the letter forms and nothing else. And yesterday I made the bad mistake of saying about datings in Asia Minor. I should have said nothing, or should have said nothing yet, because I have worked only in Attica and Corinthia. And to say something about inscriptions in Asia Minor or Near East, I shouldn't have done that, because it is a dangerous way to do things. Generally speaking, there is only a handful of Christian inscriptions from the 4th century from Corinthia. Most of the material is from the 5th and 6th century. Like in Attica, I have to give dates 5th to 6th century, but there are many that I believe are certainly from the later period, that is the 6th century or even later. Then there is the question about what kind of people were mentioned, especially in those early Christian tombstones, epitaphs, the social strata. Many of these inscriptions, epitaphs, have not only the names, but their occupations. And maybe in the later phase, when we have gone through these examples, I will give a short list of what kind of people. It's typically of the lower classes or middle class, so very few of those higher ruling elite people in these Christian epitaphs, especially. Provenience is another difficult question besides the dating from fragments, because the provenience of these inscriptions is mostly disturbed by renewed recycling of the fragments. That is, they might have been recycled in the Middle Byzantine period and Late Byzantine period and even later. So when I will take examples of these, the first ones, these from 2 to 6 epitaphs, I will group them into according to their finding places, but there's always the caveat lector or auditor, that who knows who put it in the pocket and took it to the other place. Very rarely we have found, or the inscriptions were found in situ. There are a few exceptions that were in situ. Establishing the texts, especially the text of the epitaphs, I worked in the early 90s. I made up a study of the formulae that is there for the larger pieces, and maybe I will take some examples. What is important in the formulae, and that helped me to see how one could go further in the restoration of epitaphs from Corinthia. First, there is if we just take a look at one of those epitaphs, there is the name for the grave, or the word for the grave, that is mostly koimeterion. Then there is the owner, usually in Corinth, diapheron, and then in the genitive or dative. Genitive and dative, by the way, were all in a big mix. And then the occupation of the owner of the grave, sometimes the spouse or the wife of the owner of the grave, and then the one who was sleeping in the grave, entha kata keitai, or entha kata kite, and then the name of the person, the deceased person, and his occupation, and sometimes the selling of a tomb was there, who bought it, from whom he bought it or she bought it, and for what sum of money, and then if this would be go to the furthest examples or longest examples, then we would have a curse in the last part of the epitaph. So if we have a couple of words that belong to these segments, so we can be pretty sure that it is from the end, if it's a curse, or if there's a date, month, or calendar, juonone, idus, it's from the end. But if there's an occupation or name, it's usually from the beginning, usually. And the words for dying, there is anepausato, especially usually in Corinth, not in Attica, but in Corinth. And I think it could be the reason that in the first stage of Christian epitaph culture at Corinth or Corinthia, this anepauseto or entakatakeitai was the first beginning before, in the 5th century especially, and 6th century, koimeterion took over. And there is this grave basilica of St. Quadratus that has especially many examples, proportionally many examples of this type, belonging to the 4th or 5th century. But it is just a hypothesis, and it is difficult to prove such an hypothesis with fragmentary material and small number of inscriptions. The IG will have full indicators or indexes in American, and from there you can see what interests you, if there are names or if there are, let's say, especially the res sacre, Christian things, Christian words and phrases, and churches and offices of the church and the Christian faith. These analytical indexes are useful, and Professor Halloff had the idea of how to build them up for the Attic corpus, and after that everything has been much more easy. So he set an example also in this respect. Saints, names for gods and phrases with gods, or the god, and so on. Citations from the Bible, there are at least two or three ones, and phrases from the Byzantine literature, I mean this church thing. Sententiae eritu et hymnis Byzantii sumpte. That was also present in Attica. So then the index of words and the index of poetic words and grammatical index and iconographical index and index of the proveniences of the stones. And what is also very important nowadays, a full orthographical presentation of these 600 stones. There are a couple of those that were lost already 100 years ago, and without any photo or drawing of it, we just have to do with a couple of missing things. But in Attica, there were dozens of stones without any illumination, or what you call
pictures. As for the rest of the Peloponnese, if we compare these, let's say, 500 and about 500 Christian inscriptions, because there are many, more than 100 in Kerta, say 450 Christian inscriptions, if we compare it with around 100 inscriptions of this type from the old other places in Peloponnese, we can say that Corinth is really the leading place of Corinthia. From Argolis, I have from Faisal's survey about 33 inscriptions, epitaphs mostly, some dedications, some bishops. From Arcadia, I don't know how to pronounce it in American, Arcadia is in ancient Greek, in Finland, 5 inscriptions only. Then Laconia or Laconia, 6 compared with 450 in Corinthia. Messenia, this is a difficult question because many of the inscriptions found in the excavations in the 90s, there were supposed to be 45 more epitaphs or Christian inscriptions, but I haven't seen them published yet. Before it was 7 and now it's supposed to be 52 early Christian inscriptions. I really do hope that they are published and I can look at the publication before I die. Elis, 6 inscriptions, it's something like Arcadia and Laconia, and Achaia, 3. There might be some more from Patras than 2, 1 epitaph and 1 mosaic dedication, but I have to make sure about that later on. 100 against 450, if we are talking about early Christian inscriptions. And in Attica, there were about 300 Christian ones. Of course, the corpus starts with edicts and honorary inscriptions. They are not Christian in as far as there's no sign or other remarkable sign of Christianity. This is a difficult question. I have a fragmentary large monumental inscription, probably building inscriptions. This inscription that was found from the theater, 3 letters. A cross, 20 centimeters high, and 3 letters. Well, that could be the only monumental official Christian inscription from Corinth, but most of them are prayers, acclamations, invocations, and I would say about 85% epitaphs. If we discard the Inkerta, the 149 Inkerta, so it is about 90% epitaphs. Now that I have given some words about, said some words about other places in Peloponnese, I hope to be able to continue on Corinth. So I have time until about 1:45.
A bit less.
Okay.
That includes questions.
Okay, yes. Then I will stop at 12:30 and see what happens. These samples. Number 1 is an invocation to Saint Quadratus, found in 1962 in the graveyard near the Basilica of Saint Quadratus, that is northwestern part of town. A block more than 1 meter wide. It is an impressive monument referring to Saint Quadratus, the important saint in connection with the famous martyrdom, 10th of March. And I must add that Professor Halloff's presentation of that calendar, it was the most spectacular thing, and those were the hours that we spent on it, were the most bestest, like I used to say when I was a child.
the most bestest. Now a translation. Saint Quadratus, do remember your servant. To the point, and just about complete. Mnest heti, we can be sure about it. There's just about that what is missing from the center. I will skip over a section of some 20 graffiti from a prison, and those were already the topic from the previous paper. And they include curses and invocations scribbled on pavement slabs. I have delivered a paper about them 2 years ago here in German. In my German, non-native German as non-native American this time. So this is only one sample of an invocation. And we go over to the main meal, that is epitaphs, short and long, and one epigram in them. Number two, this is a simple early memorial or grave found in 1901 in the Forum, that is Northwest Stoa this time. The right edge has been lost later. A translation: the memorial of Epaphrodita and Athenodorus. Athenodorus, or whatever. Not Epaphroditas and not Epaphrodites. There are a couple of Doricisms in there, and the grammatical index will give them the other Doricisms, or non-Atticisms, or non-Ionic Atticisms. There are altogether about 12 epitaphs from the 4th century, seven of which are Christian. I mean from the whole of Corinthia. So 319 epitaphs, and 12 of them are from the 4th century. And early Christian, I think, are seven. If I use the old idea that has been around for hundreds of years, and put it in vulgar American, this is good for diehard pagan Greeks. Pretty early, I would say, 4th century. I have been wondering for 27 years or more, why didn't they start cutting early Christian inscriptions in Attica, in Athens, or Corinth earlier? How did it take so long? But I don't ask it anymore. I have been here at Savoy for many years, and this conference has cleared my head out of this stupid question. It took a long time. It took a long time. Now, as far as the region of Forum is concerned, this is the largest place where for the most epitaphs have been found. 121 late epitaphs, 117 Christian ones. I have dated 100 of them between the 5th and 6th century and the 6th century. So this gives you an idea that it is about 80% 5th, 6th or 6th century. And this is really the large area that we start, that the corpus starts with, Forum with surroundings. Number three, this is another epitaph found in 1929 in the cavea of the Theater of Corinth, that is quite near to the northwest, quite near. This is from the latest period, that is 6th century. The formula is quite developed, that is long, but the curse with the Bible figures takes up more than two-thirds of the length, if we measure them by the words and not by the letters. A translation: sepulchre belonging to Macedonia, the one of blessed memory. If someone will try to open this without its masters, let him have the curse of Annas and Caiaphas.
bluntly translated. There are only 7 late epitaphs from the theatre area, all Christian. 4 of them seem to belong to the 6th century. So late period prevails. Number 4, a more problematic epitaph from Lerna, near the Asclepion, on the northern edge of the town. I have taken this because of the difficulties in lines 5 and 6. Sepulchre where lies Andreas, the bootmaker, and the rest of the children, within one burial place. Now this oikia, kata mian oikiaan, is really special and without parallels in Corinthia, and I believe in Attica also. The formula does not seem to have parallels in the pretty strict sets in use at Corinth. There are many of them. Lerna and Asclepion have produced 49 late epitaphs, only one of them non-Christian. 23 of them are from between the 5th and 6th centuries, and 22 from the 6th century. Only 4 are earlier or later. But this is my picture of the letter forms and the datings. If you have good ideas, how should we restore the 5th and especially the 5th and 6th line, then we would be happy, wouldn't we? But we have, Professor Halloff has done really remarkable work on the restoration, and his readings, there are dozens of readings included in this corpus. Excellent readings. But this is one of the things that bugged me for a long time. Yeah. Number 5. And this is the squeeze that has been going around. Sergiu ainopat hus poly eraton hy e apetron. It is difficult for me not to read even one line of hexameter. This is 5 lines of hexameters. A grave epigram with 2 crosses, no other signs of Christianity, but 2 crosses, that is in the beginning of the epigram, at the end of the epigram, but the contents of the epigram does not seem to have anything special. So this is one of those traditional, more or less traditional poems or epigrams produced at that period. The marble slab of larger than usual size, that is 65 centimeters, was found 39 years ago in a basilica on the southeastern skirts of Corinth. And that is the area of Craneion. 17 date epitaphs. And it is special, this Craneion area, that is the place where rather many epigrams were found, sepulchral epigrams. There are altogether 17 late epitaphs, which makes it the place with late funerary poetry, that is epigrams. As the rest of the epigrams bear no sign of Christianity, the number of Christian epitaphs sinks into 13. The epigrams are more often than not traditional and neutral, also fragmentary at Corinth, just like most of the material. 15 of the these late epitaphs belong to the 5th or 6th or the 6th century. And now a translation of this poetic text in a non-native prose. A pitiless plague and the unkind Hades, that is Hades, snatched Petrus, the much much loved son of Sergius, of terrible sorrow. Petrus was only in his 21st year. His father had nourished and brought him up to adult age, looking after him by stories of Calliope and Hermes, or Hermes. And then the date at the end, on the 13th of May, 8th year of indiction, that is a cycle of 15 years for taxation, started in the 4th century. If there is the day of the month and the weekday, then we can date them by 45 years. Yes, if it's 350 and 395 and 440 and 485 and so on. But we rarely have the weekday, because in addition, they are fragmentary. If we have a complete inscription, then this is a good, we are lucky. And if we have a date, then we are more lucky. But if we have also the day of the week, then it's a couple of times, maybe three times it happens in Corinth. The plague mentioned in verse 3 might be the one from AD 542. And Sergius had brought up his son on epic and history, a good father, indeed. Homer and Thucydides, that's good. Inscription number 6. Unfortunately, lost from St. Quadratus Basilica. The grave basilica or cemeterial basilica, most probably, has a different profile as regards the dates and formulae of late epitaphs. This particular piece, unfortunately lost and never photographed, as far as I know, was found around 1961, that is modern times for me. Maybe prehistory for some of you all. At about the same time as our number one, so why was it lost? It is the most monumental of all of these epitaphs. Two parts of a sarcophagus, maybe, at least it's a cover, almost 3.5 meters high. 3.5 meters high and 62 centimeters wide, or it had been, covering the Bishop Eustathius, a tall man, probably. But no crosses. There is a small drawing here, but in the larger paper you can see it better. Bishop Eustathius, he passed away on the fifth day before the 1st of July, and nothing else. This is, well, important but short for a tall man. And no crosses, that is, there are only these hederae, what do you call them, leaves, and the calendar date. From among 24 epitaphs of the Basilica of St. Quadratus, I have dated as many as 8 inscriptions between the 4th and the 5th century. That is exceptional. 10 epitaphs between the 5th and the 6th century. Naturally, the vexed question about the date of the basilica comes up with this. From the drawing, you can see the traditional sigma and omega in line 2. The first line also looks early, even though the sigmas are round. In this area, the Western-style ane pausato formula with the Roman date prevails. It seems to belong to the first formula fashion, just before the Koimeterian craze took over in the 5th century and the 6th century. Too bad that such a great big monument and document has not turned up. Better chances than for the calendar, but the calendar is more important, of course. Inscription number 7, Varia. Now we have gone through the areas, most of the areas. As for the rest of the areas of late epitaphs, there is the
Gymnasium with 14 inscriptions. Other areas near the city walls with 18 late inscriptions, epitaphs. Unknown places in Corinth with 30 late inscriptions and as many as 40 late epitaphs, most of them with dates between the 5th and 6th centuries. All in all, from the town of Corinth, we have 390 late epitaphs, 305 of which are Christian. As for the most usual dates, there are 139 from between the 5th and the 6th century and 118 from the 6th century. That is 80% of this material is 5th or 6th century. But then, Varia, number 7. I have 2 minutes. Photo 50, you know what it is, where it was published. Continuing inside Corinth, there are 4 various inscriptions, 2 of which seem to me so interesting or problematic that I decided to take them. Number 7 was found around 62 in the Basilica of St. Quadratus. One of its 4 fragments was lost. This slab is about 4 centimeters thick and originally almost half a meter wide. It is one of the many pieces published only in miniature group photos, certainly Christian. And then the translation of our God, Jesus, from the terrible and rightful seat of judgment during his abrupt coming after us. Amen. The phrase apotomos parousia has a parallel in Macedonia, Facel 269, for example, but of course other places also. Number 8, still heavier slab composed of 3 fragments, was found during the 19th and early 20th century in 3 places around the forum. It is the upper right corner of the 2 unusually long epigrams with a message that remains unclear for most of its part. So I'm asking for your help here. Werenbeek thought they are Christian, these epigrams are Christians. Kent thought only the latter epigram is Christian, but not epitaph. Religious life is being extolled with Homeric and Nannian phrases and words. Translation of fire, with restless, under toil in mishap, for dogs eating raw meat, for mountain beasts, and a mortal king. You had come with on your mind. He also got the crown, and the second epigram, his own son of the great God, to make wet with water, that is to baptize maybe. Gold as a powerful, extremely long future. Please help. That is not translation, it's my invocation to you all. Number 9. After skipping 2 small inscriptions, Alpha, Cross, Omega inscriptions in Corinth, I skip also over 16 Christian fragments, too small to identify in Gerta Christiana, and 149 other in Gerta, mostly unpublished. The surroundings of Corinth consist of 55 inscriptions, so now we are outside Corinth. 55 inscriptions from around Corinth, after Corinth, yielding the most numerous pieces, that is 9, then Hexamelion, the Isthmian fortification, Isthmia, Cenchreae with 9 or 8 inscriptions, Chromion and the surroundings of the main port of Corinth, that is Lecheum, then Sicyon, Stimanga up the mountain, Phleus, Nemea, and Tenea. Out of these, I picked up 2 major prayers. Number 9, a fragmentary column found in Acrocorinth a long time ago, I don't know, that is only when I was born, carries a rare feature of close-cut date, because probably this Bishop Photius took part in the Concilium Concilium Constantinopolitanum of AD 536 with diacons Dionysius and Callinicus. The phrase charity until agathotetos has a bookish or rhetorical coloring and placement. Christ, have pity on Photius, a bishop by the courtesy of your goodness, and peace and forgiveness for sins. The last one, number 10, I will end the presentation of the classical with the well-known monumental prayer for the Emperor Justinian and his general Victorinus. The large block that is 1 meter, 62 centimeters and 30 centimeters thick was found already in 1415, so this is the earliest found or find in the wrecks of the Isthmian fortification wall when it was remodeled. A little later, Kuriakos of Ancona saw it in the then new wall, an object for numerous publications. It has traveled between New Corinth, ancient Corinth, and now it rests inside the Museum of Isthmia. Translation. Light from light, let the God from real God guard the Emperor Justinian and his faithful servant Victorinus, together with those inhabiting in Hellas, the ones that are living according to God. The beginning comes from the Nicene symbol. Hellas refers here to the province of Achaia, that is the Greece proper, with Corinth as its capital. Whether Victorinus had a civil or military reign, we cannot be totally certain. The inscription dates from the years after the death of Theodora, the wife of Justinian. So another example of a rare short date, I mean, succinct. No, 200 years, but a couple of decades. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for attention. I hope to be able to answer the questions that you give me. Thank you.